Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. I'm glad that you made it. Glad that you're here. Grab your Bibles if you would. Let's turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 17. I want to welcome in all of our online friends, friends watching from all over the world, those that are tuning into our podcast and online. So, High Ridge family, would you make them welcome this morning with a big round of applause? Hey, glad you could tune in. Grab your Bible and follow along. We are going to end our series called You Asked For It, the series built by you. Many of you have sent in questions, you've texted in questions, you've emailed them in. And we've done our best to try to respond and answer as many as possible. I have to warn you, today's message, we are going to move really, really quickly. I'm going to give you an entire series worth of information because you've asked some very, very specific and excellent questions. So we're going to focus today all around finding the will and the heart of God, finding God's voice. And so this is perhaps the most asked question that I ever get and probably have ever gotten in ministry is, how do I hear God's voice? How do I find God's will for my life? Something to that effect. More people are wondering about how to hear him now more than ever. And I think in an age where we're so inundated and so clouded by so many different voices and distractions, it's difficult for us to tell the difference between our own inner thoughts, our own hopes and wishes and dreams, maybe the voices of what people are saying and what culture says is right, and the voice of God. It's very, very important as Christians that we understand and know the difference between the two. God's voice, God's will. Hearing and understanding him is supremely it's paramount to being able to do this Christian life. You have to be able to do this. And the good news is God wants you to hear him. He wants to speak to you. And even better than that, he wants you to speak back. That's the good news. God wants to be heard. You can hear God's voice. I want to just take a moment for you to get that into your spirit. I can hear God's voice. Would you say that with me? I can hear God's voice. Yes, you can. I need you to believe that this morning. Put your faith there. God wants to speak to you. To me? Yes, to you. Even me? Yes, even you. So we're going to get into how do I do that? How do I understand the difference? And I'm going to give you as much information as possible. So if you are a note taker, this message is for you. I'm going to move as quickly as I can just to make sure that we cover it all and make sure that you get a well-rounded understanding of hearing and understanding God's voice, finding his what the Bible calls his pleasing and perfect will. That's a good place to live in, amen? Living in the middle of God's will, knowing that you're doing exactly what God has called you to do, finding that place where you're making a difference because you found your purpose. That's our goal for us as a church, is to get you to that place where you're hearing and understanding God's voice and you're using the life, the gift that God has given you to make a difference in the time that you have left. That's our hope. So as we're digging into the Word of God, we're going to start with this first question, and that's, what's God's will for my life? I get asked that question more than any other question. What is God's will for my life? If you've ever asked that question, trust me, you are in good company. Lots of people ask that question all the time. But there's two important things that you have to know. If you want to list these two things, write the word general, and next to it, write the word specific. General and specific. You have to write the word general first. So here's what I mean by that. When you understand the general will of God, you will get the specific will of God. Many, many people want the specific will of God. God, who am I supposed to marry? God, what kind of job do you want me to take? Am I called to the mission field? Is this the right major for me? Should I leave my house? Should I move to a new house? What am I doing with my life? Lots of people want the specifics, but they're not willing to get the general. Make sense? So it works really, really well when you do it in the order that God has put it in for a reason. God is a God of order, and there's a reason why this works together in the right order. It does not work the other way around. You do not get the specific if you don't get the general. Make sense? So this is like in high school, and they do the cheerleaders, they do the human pyramid. There's a right order to do that. You put the fat people on the bottom, right? Come on. Let's not be politically correct for a moment. Hey, big people, you're going to be at the bottom. There's a right grouping for family photos. Like tall people, you're at the back. It's just the way it is. Short people, you're at the front. It's the right order. There's an order to doing things. God has an order. When you understand the general will of God, God is what is your Bible telling all Christians to do? When I understand the general and I'm doing the general things that God has called all Christians to do, I will get the specifics for my life. So don't ever come to me and tell me I'm not willing to fast, I'm not willing to pray, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not going to church, I'm not spending any time in God's Word, I'm not worshiping, but I really want to know God's will for my life. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's like people saying, I really want to lose weight, but I'm not willing to do anything to do it. Like, okay, good luck with that. You have to change something. So when you apply yourself to the general, you get the specific. How do I find God's will for my life? Start with the general, and you will get the specific. Make sense? There's an order to it. Let's move on from that. Here's the second question I want to answer this morning. How do I know it's not God's will? Because this might be more important than even knowing what God's will is knowing what God's will is not. That's a good place to say amen. Because all of us have tried at one time or another to pretend like it's God's will. Would you know for a fact that it is not? Oh God, please. If this is the one you want me to marry, give me no sign. Thy will be done. Thank you, Lord, for giving me no sign. How do I know it's not God's will? I want to give you six ways to know that you're in deep trouble. When you're trying to excuse your behavior and confusing that with saying, oh, this is the will of God for my life. Like, I don't think so. And these are six common things that not only you've done, but I've done, things that we've all done at one time or the other and not realized till maybe a little bit too late that we were in deep trouble. This is how you know you're in deep trouble when you're trying to pretend that something is the will of God. And number one, go ahead and write this down, when it contradicts His Word. When it contradicts His Word, you will never find the will of God outside of the Word of God. You never find the ways of God outside of the Word of God. Once again, you have to get into His Word to understand His will. His will never contradicts His written Word. Please hear me, Christ follower. If you call yourself a Christian, at some point you're going to have to read His Word. I'm sorry, that's the bad news, but you have to do this. Don't tell me I don't read that much. They have books on tape. If you have no idea what tape is, they've got audio books. They've got all kinds of neat things you can press on the Bible Gateway app and just say, I want to listen to it. And you've got people like Morgan Freeman reading you the Bible. How much better does that get? The voice of God Himself, right? You can read God's Word. But stop telling me I can't find the will of God. You're in trouble because you're not willing to apply yourself to His Word. You don't know the difference. This is getting so many Christians in trouble. It blows my mind that they can't hear God's voice, but they're not willing to read His Word. Stop. Get into His Word. He wrote a love letter to you. It speaks to every single situation that you have. His will for your life, it's in there. I promise you, it is in there. Get into His Word. How do I know that I'm in big trouble? When what I'm doing contradicts His Word. I want to show you this in Acts chapter 17. Look at this. It says, Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character. This is verse 11. They were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness. They heard God's Word and they received it. And they examined the Scriptures every day. Somebody say those last two words with me. Every day. They examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was actually true. He said, this is how we know the Word of God. We can listen to it. We receive it with eagerness. That sounds good, Pastor, but guess what? I'm going to read it for myself. This is how you know that you're in the middle of the will of God, when you can take what someone says, when you can take things that sound good and pass them through the filter of Scripture. But if you don't know Scripture, you got problems, you're in trouble. You can be led astray. The Bible even tells us that in the last days that the people of God, even the very elect, if it were possible, it says they're led astray. Why? Because they don't know the Word. Get into the Word. It's perhaps the most important thing that I can tell you today. We can't spend enough time on this. I wish we could spend even more. I'm trying to give you as much information as I can, but if you can't get into the Word, you're never going to find God's will for your life. If you're trying to find it any other way except for His written Word, you're a moron. It will not happen. Spiritually speaking, how do I know I'm in trouble? When what I'm doing contradicts the written Word of God. Number two, when it burns me out. When it burns me out. Lots of people have assumed that they're following after the call of God, but they're bearing zero fruit. It's total frustration. Nothing is working. Now, that doesn't mean, please hear me, it doesn't mean that when you're following after God's will that you're never going to have frustration. Come on, somebody. You're going to have days where you wish like, okay, God, I wish you would have called me to something else. You know, maybe a kids pastor would be way easier than this. You've never spent time with a kids pastor. But when it's burning me out constantly, you might be in trouble. remember the old Jeff Foxworthy jokes, you might be a redneck, you know. If you've got more cars in your front lawn than you do actual grass, you might be a redneck, you know, things like that. When you're constantly getting burned out and frustrated, it could be that you're in trouble, spiritually speaking. We find this in John 15. Jesus says this to his disciples, "You didn't choose me." He says, "But I chose you and I appointed you," or I've got you right in the center of my will. I told you to go here. And when you go there, it says you're going to bear fruit. This is spiritual fruit saying, I'm going to produce things in your life. Those of you that know the fruits of the Spirit know that the fruit of being burnt out is not one of them. Right? He said, I've called you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So there should be some lasting results, things happening inside of you, and the things that in the area that I've called you to do, you're going to have results. Things are going to begin to bear fruit and the fruit's going to last. He says, so that whatever you ask my Father in my name, He's going to give it to you. So even in the center of God's will, and God is in the scriptures in John, Jesus is about to send out his disciples on their own. How many times would they ask themselves, am I doing what God has really called me to do? How are we supposed to recognize that someone's inside the will of God? You're going to see the fruit in their life, that even in the worst of times, they've still got fruit and it's abiding. They're producing the gifts of the Spirit. If it's constantly burning you out, the chances are you might have missed God. So this, you know, if you find yourself hitting a brick wall, let this be a little warning bell to you. There's a better way. There's a better way. And I've had times in my life where I thought, okay, God, have I missed this? Because it feels like I'm trying to light matches in a wind tunnel. This ain't working. Here's number three. How do I know I'm in trouble? When it takes no faith. Let me tell you this. If it doesn't take faith, it's probably not God. Well, no, I'm right in the middle of God's will. It takes no faith to do this. Like, no, it's probably not him. Where God speaks, it's going to be there's going to be a step of faith involved more often than not. I wish I could say 100% of the time, but I honestly don't know the exception, but there might be. But if it takes no faith, it's probably not God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing his voice and hearing through the word of Christ. When God speaks to you through his word, you got the faith to hear it. There's a faith step involved. This is what James talks about when he says, I want you to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. It's going to take a faith step after you've heard God speak. There's a faith step. So if it takes zero faith, it's probably not God. Are we still with me this morning? You still there? All right, let's move on a little bit faster. You guys aren't listening fast enough. Number four, how do I know I'm in trouble? When there's no open doors. When there are no open doors. We'll talk more a little bit about this later on, but 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to see this in verse 12. Paul says, a door was opened for me. Twice, by the way, the Apostle Paul says this, that God gave him an open door. And by the way, God gives him this open door in a place where there are literally no open doors. Like he's in prison. They said, no, but God, I'm in the middle of prison. That's the place where most of us would say, I'm out of the will of God. I am in prison. But Paul said, no, I'm right in the middle of the will of God, even in prison. I'm finding a way. There's open doors for me to share the gospel. Are you kidding me, Paul? Yeah. Every 12 hours, they chain another soldier to me. I'm like, he can't get away. Let me tell you about Jesus. When there's no open doors happening, get in touch with the Lord. It could be that you're in trouble. Number five, when I'm ignoring my disobedience. And I have been here so many times. I wish we could just stop right here and I could just preach here at all the times that I've ignored my disobedience. Things that I knew God had told me to do or things that I was trying to ignore that God told me not to do. Like, oh, that's fine. We'll just cover that with grace. God, just look the other way. It'll be fine. Just excuse me for a few minutes. I really want to do this. I know you don't mind. No, when I'm ignoring my disobedience, and I want you to see this in Proverbs chapter 1. These are some strong words that most people would never have tattooed on themselves, right? This is not one of those life verses that you find people saying, oh, this is the greatest verse of my... No, it's not. Look at this in verse 24. God says this, because I have called and you refuse to listen, I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, God says, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Stern words from a loving parent. So you're not listening to me. So I'm going to take my hand of protection away, and what you get is what you get. You're not listening to me. This is, by the way, the most compelling scripture and proof that God's essence is best revealed in the heart of Mexican mothers. Because for those of you that did not have the joy of being brought up with a Mexican mother, you don't understand God the way I understand him. But this sounds exactly like what a Mexican mom would say. Like, you know what? Go ahead. But don't come crying to me when what happens to you is exactly what I told you would happen to you. Don't come crying because I'm going to be over here laughing. I'm telling you, I'm going to be laughing at you. There may be a case here that God is Hispanic, and I'm just telling you. He did name his son Jesus. There's a case. I'm working on it. But here's God saying, look, you keep disobeying, you get what you get. I'm trying to tell you, but you're not listening. And when you start ignoring your disobedience, you move to number 6. This is how you know you're in trouble, when I'm not hearing his voice anymore. You know, God goes quiet when we've missed him, when we've wandered off a little bit, when we've decided to let our own wants and our own desires cloud out the fact that God was speaking. This is hard for us to admit sometimes, but he's not speaking. You're reading your word and nothing's coming out. You're spending time in worship. You're spending time in prayer. You're just not getting anything back. It's like you're praying to a brick wall. There's a better way. Notice this in John 10:27. Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. He didn't say they've heard my voice. Hear, present tense. They hear him. And he says, I know them and they follow me. So if you're not hearing him, perhaps like a sheep, you've just wandered a little bit too far away. Get back into the presence of God. Listen to him. Say, God, speak to me. If you've never heard God speak, you're going to have that opportunity today. I'm going to show you how to do this in the most practical of ways. This is not something that only pastors can do. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. Not just my shepherds hear my voice, right? My sheep, all of us. So there's 6 ways that you know that you're in trouble. I want to give you the last question we're going to answer today is the 12 ways that God speaks. And I want to put a little caveat on that and just write the word normally. Because God's God and he can do what he wants. And if he can speak through a burning bush and a donkey, he can speak through other things. He does what he wants. He's God. But there are 12 ways that God speaks normally to his people. And let me just stop right there because I want to make sure that you understand this. I never make life decisions without hearing God speak and hearing it confirmed in multiple resources. I never use one of these to bank my life on, not ever. Now, most of the time this is going to happen in threes, but if I don't at least hear 3 of these things confirming themselves, then I don't move. Does this make sense to you? So I'm a person that I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to do something that God was telling me not to do, but it's just my own ideas. It might have been a good idea, but there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea, right? So I want to make sure that I'm hearing God very, very clearly. So I'll ask God to confirm himself. And by the way, this is scriptural. There's nothing wrong with this, but saying, God, can you show me this? Or God, can you make sure that this happens? Things that I'm not trying to manipulate on my own. But God, I need to hear from you. And before I move my family from North Texas to East Texas with no one that I know, I got to know that you're in this. And so God loves to confirm his will over and over to you. He speaks in multiple ways. And so as we're getting into, you know, how does God speak today? I want to show you, number one, we've talked about this before. It's extremely important. We can't get any deeper than this. If you don't get this one, you don't get anything else. It is his written word. Number one, his written word. Extremely important. God speaks through his word. Nothing else will work if you're not spending time in his word. Please hear me, Christian. There is no excuse. It's good. It's good for you. It's God's word to you. So, and when God speaks to his word, the Greek word there is the word logos, which means the written word. But when the written word is empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes rhema, which is the word. It goes from written word to revealed word, where God doesn't just let you read words on the page, but all of a sudden it speaks into your life. It speaks into your situation. It speaks things that remind you of your kids or that remind you of that situation that you were praying about. This is where logos becomes rhema. God speaks to you through his word. And so if you're not reading his word, you're never going to understand his ways. You will never understand his will. You got to get into his word. God speaks through his word. Still with me? Number 2. You guys got to listen faster. We only got 11 minutes. God speaks through worship. Duh. He speaks through worship. There are many different ways that even people that can't read can feel the power in the presence of God, can hear God speak to them through the power of music. We'll keep moving because I think you're still with me. You can believe that. Number three, God speaks through prayer. And by the way, that word worship prayer combination is really, really, really powerful. Amen. Really powerful. There's a reason why we do that in every single service on Sunday morning. We're going to get into God's word. We're going to spend time worshiping. I'm going to give you an invitation to pray at some point, but to spend time with God. Come on, let's worship him. And you just close your eyes and you start talking to him. You tell him things. That worship word prayer thing is a powerful communication between us and God that has to happen every single Sunday. Worship, word, through prayer. I'm going to show you how to do this today in a practical way at the very, very end. Number four, God can speak through a person. Believe it or not, yes, he can. Now, this does not have to necessarily be a pastor. This can be a stranger. This can be a friend. This can be someone with a prophetic gift. The prophetic gift is still alive and still working today, and it's not weird. God still speaks through people. There have been multiple times in my life, and maybe some of you are there as well. Well, I've had a person that I did not know and someone that did not know me say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I feel like I have a word for you, and this is something that God told me. Or they would slip me a little note, something that they'd written down that God has spoken to them, and it's just like, whoa. Now, I don't base my life off of that one thing, but normally that's confirmation from the 12 other things God was telling me. It's like a little icing on the cake where God just kind of winks at you and say, here, just in case you didn't know, I'm going to use a total stranger to tell you. This is multiple times that this has happened to me, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, the prophetic gift got really, really strange in the church. It got really, really weird. It became where the church was focused on hearing the prophetic gift and getting out of the written word. And so what happens when that happens is things take a little left turn. And it takes a while before the pendulum swings back to the other side. And so we've had multiple people that will still come, even the past few months, that will still come to our church. And you might have never seen them before, but they'll come and say, hey, I've got a word for you, pastor, or I need the microphone. I'm gonna speak a word to the church. And I say the same thing that I've said to all of them. You may be a prophet, but you're not our prophet. I don't know you. So this is like someone asking, can I hold your baby? Like, I don't know you. You know, family members? Sure, of course, I trust you. You know, there's things that I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this person is not going to take my baby and run off with it. But I'm ultimately responsible for what happens here. And the prophetic gift, when it's done right, when it's done with people that we know in the context of relationship, when it's done under authority, is powerful. When it's not, it gets really weird really fast. It's amazing that those people don't stay around to become our prophet. No, they want to hear their gift used in the way that they want it used. And if it doesn't happen the way that they want, then they're gone. Bye. You know, God was speaking before you came here. He'll be speaking after you're gone. But we have plenty of people that have raised up in the prophetic that are right here. And the cool thing is when it's working in context with the other gifts, it is powerful, wonderful. When it operates on its own, it gets really weird. Have you seen it? You've seen it like I have. That person will stand up and start screaming out in service. Thus saith the Lord. You're like, okay. Really? Are you sure? The Bible tells us that we're supposed to test that spirit. And if you're not here for us to test it, how would we know? Come on, how would we know, right? So you may be a prophet, you're not our prophet, but we've asked multiple people, if you have a word from God, would you write it down? Write it down. And the cool thing is when they say yes and actually write this word down, you'll have two or three people give you the same word on the same day. And you're like, I know it's God. God confirms himself. But until I know you and I have a relationship with you, you're not holding my baby. This is my baby. Many of you that are looking to get a word, especially through a person, one of the ways that we offer that is at the end of every service, we have our elders and their wives. They will stand up here and offer to pray for you. And for many of them, God will give them a word or give them a scripture or a word of encouragement for you. You will get a word from God if that's what you need. We're happy to do that. That's one of the ways that prophetic gift can still operate in the church today. And it's done in order and without being weird. God still speaks through people. And it doesn't have to be weird for him to do it. God is not weird. Somebody needs to hear that. God is not weird. People are weird. People do weird things with godly things. They always have. But God can speak through a person. Hebrews 1:1 tells us, in the past, God spoke through our ancestors, through the prophets, at many times, and in various ways. Let's keep on going. Number five, God loves to speak through open doors. just opportunities that you didn't make happen, that you know you didn't make happen yourself. Lots of people tell, well, I had this opportunity. Like, no, you manipulated that and tried to make that happen yourself. That's what that is. Once again, it starts with the written word. Let's filter it through that. But God still speaks through open doors. Many of you, let's just have a, I'll ask you for a quick show of hands in response to this question. How many of you know for a fact that God has opened doors for you that only God could have opened? Let me see your hands. God still speaks through open doors. There are circumstances that only God could have made that happen. And this is God saying, get through that door. Make sense? Number six, God speaks through an abiding peace. A peace that just remains. The Bible calls this the peace that passes all understanding. When it makes no sense, I still have this incredible peace that I know God has led me here and I'm right in the middle of his will. I have this peace about it. Now, if you've been around ministry as long as I have, this is a couple decades now in ministry, I've learned that when people say, I have a peace about it, if they're not in God's word, they're not a student of his presence, then what that normally means is I've made up my mind, just shut up. Come on, somebody, that's what that means. I made up my mind, don't question me on it. I have peace about it. No, really? I'm about to give you a piece of my mind. Your peace means nothing. You're divorcing your wife and you're an idiot. But that peace sometimes has been manufactured and been abused. Lots of people say, well, I have a peace, but I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek the Lord. I wasn't fasting. I wasn't spending any time with anyone else offering this word underneath submission to my spiritual authority. No, I have peace about it, which means shut up. But God loves to present a peace to his people as a confirmation of his word. He's speaking to you through his peace. Psalm 85 says this, I will listen to what God, the Lord, says, because he promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. You still with me? Number seven, God speaks through creation. Anything from a burning bush to a donkey. But there's a reason why. There's a reason why when you go outside, you spend time in the woods, praise God for golf and for hunting, two of my biggest passions. Why? Because I can hear from God. Sometimes. There's a reason why you feel close to God when you're in creation. There's a reason for God. There's a reason that when you sit next to an ocean, that you feel different. And it's not just relaxing and calm. But there's a reason why God begins to speak when you watch waves come in. I can't help it. There's a reason why the sound of the rain sometimes will make you more relaxed than others. Why? Because we are created in his image and we're bonded with his creation. We are creation listening to the other creation. And we're bringing glory to God through what we are and who we've been called to be. God speaks through creation. You hear birds singing and things just change. There's a reason why you get up early in the morning, you're driving to work, and you look out at the sunrise, you're thinking, whoa, wow. And you feel God's presence in that moment. Psalm 19 tells us this in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, or are they screaming out how much glory he has and proclaiming glory to him. It says they proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. God loves to speak through creation. As a matter of fact, God speaks to creation to people that will never read his written word. One of the questions that we always get is, how could God hold people accountable that if they've never heard of Jesus? And I want to show you this scripture in Romans 1:20. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There will be no excuse for anyone when they stand before God himself. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you see creation, you assume that there is a creator. You see a painting, and I assume that there was a painter. It's not just a bunch of random accidents that happen to get together and frame themselves. The heavens declare the glory of God. They pour forth speech night after night. It says they reveal knowledge. God speaks through creation. Number 8, 9, and 10, we'll move really, really quickly. God speaks through dreams, through visions, and through angels. Dreams are when you're asleep. Visions are when you're awake. You just see things. Lots of people do this. And angels. People are visited by angels. These are more rare, but it still happens. I think God likes to speak to me mostly through dreams because I don't listen too well when I'm awake. It is what it is. And the last two are this. God speaks through an audible voice, a voice that you can hear, and then through an inner voice, a voice that's just kind of the voice of your conscience, the Bible says. He calls it in one passage, or just that still small voice on the inside of us that lets us know that this is God. Once again, I will never make major life decisions without at least three of these coming into order. And most of the time, it has to be the written word of God, the rhema, and spiritual authority. Those are the top three. So until I read it in God's word, until I hear him speaking it to me in my quiet time, and until my spiritual authority, my pastor or someone that I trust to speak into my life, speaks about it randomly, my answer is no. I'm not willing to move until God moves upon another person to speak into my life. And it has to be someone that I know and trust that hears from God. Does this make sense? There's a reason why I live in East Texas and not in Fort Worth. Because these things lined up just like I'm talking to you about. I'm not just telling you the things that I've pulled out of God's word that I'm saying these are good reasons, good ways to follow your, to base your life on. I'm telling you I've based my life on them. This is coming from experience. God still speaks and he wants to speak to you. It's not because I'm special, because God loves me more than he loves you. That is foolishness. God wants to speak to his people. My sheep hear my voice. He wants to speak to you. Even better, he wants to speak through you. Get into his word. Know his word. Memorize scripture. Put it on your mirror. Put it on a post-it note. Hang it on your computer. Get into his word. Let him speak to you and through you. Let me give you the five most practical ways to hear from the Lord. If you've never done this before, I'm going to give you a way that you can hear from God tomorrow. He wants to speak to you. This will happen. Number one, get alone. Get alone. There are plenty of times I'm going to tell you, hey, get into a group. Groups are wonderful things, but if you want to hear from God for yourself, get alone. Get free from distractions. Try to get at least 5 to 10 minutes, if you can, especially if you're a single dad. I was a single dad, and single moms, I feel for you. So if you're single or single again, getting alone is a very difficult thing to do. I get it. But it can be done. I found that the shower time was the time where I heard from God the most, because it's the only time I had where kids weren't pulling on my coattails saying, I need this, I need that. I get it. But you can get alone. Get alone for just a few minutes and then worship. Put some earphones in if you can, but spend some time worshiping. Close your eyes. Worship. Clear your mind. Clear your thoughts. Begin to worship. You're setting the stage for God to speak. Worship is a great way to just clear your mind and set the platform for God to have his way. Number two, get your Bible. Get your Bible. And when you get into your Bible, if you don't know where to start, start in 1 John. It's a great place to start. 1 John. And by the way, pray. Say, Holy Spirit, would you teach me? You never want to get into the Word of God and study without the teacher. And the teacher is the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you teach me? And what you do is you're going to read until something jumps off the page. And then write it down. Which is number three, get a pen. Get a pen, write down that scripture. So you've been praying, you're worshiping, you're reading God's word. Rhema has just come from Logos. It's speaking into your life. Write down what he says, and then say, Holy Spirit, would you show me? And begin to write down what you think he's saying. It may sound like gibberish at first. It may just be a few simple words. You may think to yourself, oh, this is just me doing this. But trust me, the enemy does not want you to do this. This is not something that we can say, oh, this just comes natural to us. No, we're having to fight through all the distractions and the noise of our culture. But God wants to speak to you, and he will. It may sound like your own voice for just a second, but this is this powerful moment where you turn your imagination into something supernatural, where God begins to channel something supernatural through you. And just like a baby, it's going to take a little while before you get it, before you get the hang of it. You're not supposed to have it all the first day, but you'd be surprised. You start writing down some things, you may not understand them. Look back and read it again a year later. And that's fun to see. It's fun to see. Like, this makes no sense a year later. Oh, my God. You have no idea how many times I've heard that. This was crazy. This was really, really crazy. And then a year before, you're like, I don't know. Does this make any sense to you? Like, not to me. Read it in a year. And then look how awesome God is. Get a pen, and then number four and five, say thank you when you're done. This is important, because God doesn't have to speak to any of us. He chooses to. And when the Creator of the heavens speaks to you, your response needs to be, thank you. Thank you. I'm listening. The last one is this, and we'll close with this. Ashley, you can go ahead and come on up. Be obedient to what He says. It's going to take a faith step sometimes. Might be something that you don't quite understand, but a lot of times He'll just give you something simple to do. And maybe to send a text to somebody to encourage them. Don't write that off. You have no idea what people are going through. You have no idea how many times someone has texted me and said, I was just praying for you today, and I just felt the Lord telling me to encourage you. And I needed that. I really needed it at that moment. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak through you. Yes, you can hear the voice of God. And when He's finished speaking, be obedient. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from Him and He knows it and you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer. Your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. highridgelv.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.